Turn with us to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. As we continue today our sermon series on the seven secrets of success, I think you know by now that there are no absolute secrets. Solomon said, "There is nothing new under the heavens." Say that with me. There is nothing new under the heavens. A secret is a known principle that has been lost in the rat race of life. And if you win the rat race, that means that you are the number one rat. We have talked to this point in time about your attitude toward success, about qualifying for success, about investing for success. And last week we talked about success without worry. Today we're going to talk about the fifth secret of success, which is success through excellence. The fact is, there's an appalling lack of commitment to excellence in America. Our industrial leadership is being lost because we have abandoned our commitment to excellence. Our schools are producing graduates who cannot read and who cannot fill out a job application because excellence is no longer our goal. Graduation is our goal, not excellence. Our society in America is rotting from within because we have adopted the policy of let's just do enough to get by, and that's the attitude that prevails in the country. Our national symbol may need to be changed from that of an eagle to a vulture if we continue with the just enough to get by mentality. There is an appalling lack of commitment to excellence in the Church of Jesus Christ. Sloppy agape is a fact. It's not fiction. That's not God's will. It is God's will for the righteous to establish the benchmark of excellence. The world should look at God's kids and say, that's what excellence looks like. Proverbs 12:26. Read it with me, please. Ready? The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him. Ready? The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let us hear the word of the Lord today and see what excellence is all about in Jesus' name. In the name that's above every name, we pray and ask it, and all of God's children said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. What is excellence? Webster says that excellence is superior quality. First class is Webster's word. Excellence is living up to your highest potential. Say that with me. Excellence is living up to your highest potential. The greatest waste of America's natural resources is the number of people who never will accomplish their potential, and especially young people. They are murdering their future because they're willing to be satisfied with being mediocre. Excellence is constantly being redefined. What was excellent last year may not be so excellent this year. Always being the best you can be is always being redefined. We see it every year in athletics. Records are constantly being broken by people who are willing to pay the price, to go the second mile, to give a little extra effort, and to pay attention to detail. Excellence has been defined as being just a little bit better than your competition. Just a little bit better than your neighbor. I read the story the other day about two friends who were out backpacking in the Rocky Mountains. And as they were out backpacking with all of their gear and their boots and so forth, they turned a corner and there was a huge grizzly bear. One of them immediately sat down, began to pull off his hiking boots and put on his tennis shoes. And his friend said, "Putting on those tennis shoes won't help you outrun the bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." Being just a little bit better than the other guy. What would carry you to the winner's circle last year won't get you there this year. What would take you to the Super Bowl last year is not enough this year. What it took to be salesman of the year last year may not qualify you to keep your job this year. Someone, somewhere, is going the second mile and redefining what excellence is all about. A man took his wife and his children to a picnic, and en route the wife remembered that she had forgotten the mayonnaise. And he stopped at a country store and walked in to look for mayonnaise, and all he saw was salt. Morton salt, rock salt, bottle salt, salt for animals, salt for wildlife. He asked the owner, said, "Do you have any mayonnaise in this store?" Said, "Yes, in the basement." They went down in the basement. On three walls were salt, more salt. On the back wall was a very short section that had bread, a few beans, and some mayonnaise and the other things. And he looked at this man and said, "You really must be an excellent salt salesman." He said, "No, not really." He said, "You certainly have to sell a lot of salt out of this store." He said, "No, not really. I'm not an excellent salt salesman at all." He said, "But the guy that sells me salt, he's an excellent salt salesman." Excellence is not found in faith formulas. One of our church members mailed me a cartoon this week, and I tried to make a visual of it. I hope you can see it well. This is a car salesman, and he's leaning up against that car, and he's saying, "You can name it and claim it for $14,370. There it is, right there. That doesn't mean anything to you. You haven't been in the charismatic community very long. Excellence is not found in faith formulas. It's found in what you do. Excellence is not a secretary who can make four carbons without an original. One secretary told her boss that, "I'm fed up with the way you criticize my spelling. I'm handing in my resignation." "How do you spell quit?" God expects excellence from His children. Say that with me. God expects excellence from His children. Psalm 16:3 says, "But to the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight." 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." The word virtue means excellence. This is a command. Add to your faith excellence. It does not say go with the flow. It does not say join the herd. It does not say refuse to rock the boat. It says add to your faith excellence. Say that with me. Add to your faith excellence. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor." Say that with me. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Does that describe you? Does it? Are you more excellent in your living and lifestyle than your neighbor? Excellence in your life is a basic form of Christian witnessing. Every job you do is a portrait of the person who does it. Is it sloppy? Or is it distinguished? Whether you sell steamships or shoelaces, whether you are a painter or a pastor, it's not what you do, it's how well you do it that makes the difference. A preacher took his car to the mechanic to get it fixed. And he said to the mechanic, "I'd like for you to keep the price as low as you can. I'm a poor preacher." He said, "I know. I heard you preach last Sunday." Your life is a witness to other people. Is it sloppy? Is what you do most often poorly planned and poorly executed? Then it's an embarrassment to the Lord. When you witness to your neighbor across the fence about the better life in Christ, and you're witnessing standing up to your waist in grass, and your yard is covered with trash, and your house looks like a bomb exploded inside of it, and the dishes are stacked in the sink, green with algae, not having been washed, and the closets are an avalanche looking for a place to happen, and clothes and newspapers and toys and last week's pizza crust strung all over the house. Do God a favor and tell those folks I'm an atheist. Don't tell them you go to this church. Tell them you go to that church over there. Paul said in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do everything to the glory of Jesus Christ." Do it with excellence so when people look at it and say, one of God's children did that, it's full of God's glory and it's full of God's excellence. What is it that God has given you to do? Be a home minister? Then do it with excellence. To be a Sunday school teacher? Then do it with excellence. To sing in the choir? Then do it with excellence. To be an elder? To be a staff member? To be an usher? To be a member of the greeters corps, to work on the television crew, to work in the parking team, on the security team, on the intercessory prayer groups, then whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of Jesus Christ so that when it's done, the kiss of heaven is upon it because it is done with such detail and such excellence that it brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Do it right, and do it now. And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if you don't do it right the first time, when are you going to have time to come back and do it right the second time? Because until it's done right, it's not done, period. Don't wish for your job to be easier. If it was easier, everybody would be doing it, and you'd be unemployed. Think about that. Ask God to kill that sleazy, half-baked, sloppy, slovenly, just enough to get by attitude that's within you. And think that you can be all you can be with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise to your highest potential. Stand in the winner's circle. Accomplish your dreams through excellence. Because the righteous are more excellent than his neighbor, saith the Lord. That's God's goal for your life. Why don't we achieve excellence? Most of the time, we literally talk ourselves out of it. Talk is cheap. The supply always exceeds the demand. Always. Most people have the ability to compress the minimum amount of thought into the maximum amount of words. Think about that. Why? We say things like, well, this is good enough for government work. Let it go. If you're building an airplane, I hope it's a little bit better than that. I always get nervous when I'm flying at 30,000 feet, 700 miles an hour, and know the plane was made by the lowest bidder. People say, why be different? Everybody else is sloppy. Why try so hard? You know you can't buck the system, Leroy. Don't make waves and embarrass our fellow slobs on this job with your superior effort. Just go with the flow. Wherever that is. Generally, it's down the drain. Hear me. Excellence begins with the second mile. Jesus said you are by law required to go the first mile. The first mile is your duty. But the second mile is where excellence and excitement really begin. Excellence begins with a soul-searching session where you surgically remove the cancer of mediocrity from your soul. Most people that you know are walking around saying, what's wrong, not what's right. Most people are talking their way out of success by saying, what's missing, not what's present that we can work with. People are saying, what's ugly, not what's beautiful. They're saying what cannot be done as opposed to what we can do. They're saying what we lack as opposed to what we have right here, right now to get the job done. They're talking about what little we know and what we should know to get the job accomplished. Don't fall into that negative trap. If life has given you a lemon, make a lemonade out of it. If there's a mob running you out of town, get in front of them and make it look like a parade in your honor and go out with them. Time mismanagement keeps us from excellence. Say that with me. Time mismanagement keeps us from excellence. Do you waste time? I read in the Wall Street Journal the other day, the average company loses 3 weeks of working time per person for every water fountain in the building. Almost tempted to tear them out of the wall. Do you waste time? Do you waste life? Every day you exchange one day of your life for what you're doing. Is it worth it? You're not ever going to get the moment back. Is what you're doing worth it? If it's not, don't do it. Are you always looking for the day off? You need to look for the day on once in a while. I have a standard statement for employees who ask me for the day off. Before you do, consider the following statistics. There are 365 days in the year. And you sleep 8 hours a day, that makes 122 days, which subtracted from 365 leaves 343 to work. You also generally watch television 4 hours a day, and you eat three meals that consume 4 hours, which reduces another 122 days, which leaves a balance of 121 days to work. There are 52 Sundays that you don't work at all, that leaves 69 days left to work. You get Saturday afternoon off, 52 half days off. That's 26 days you don't work. That leaves just 43 days left to work. You get an hour off for lunch, which totaled up makes 16 days a year. That leaves 27 days a year to work. You get 21 days of leave called vacation, whether you deserve it or not, and that leaves 6 days to work. You get 5 legal holidays a year, and that leaves 1 day off to work, and you're asking me for that day off? No way! My father was a stickler for time management. If you made an appointment with him and you were late, he would leave you. And I mean 5 minutes late. My older brother and I on one occasion were told to paint the house. My older brother managed to get up on the roof and fall off. And he showed up 1 hour late, limping with his face battered and bruised, carrying his arm in a sling. And my dad looked at him with his laser beam glare that he had. My brother said, "Well, I fell off the roof." And my father said, "Did that take you an hour?" You can paint with one hand. Get with it. What does the Bible say about time management? Ephesians 5:16 says, redeem the time. Say that with me. Redeem the time. Translation, make every minute count. David said, "Lord, teach us to number our days." When you kill time, there is no resurrection for it. It's over. You have exchanged 1 day of your life for it. And systematically, you're wasting your life by not making every hour and every minute count. We fail to achieve excellence because of the limited vision of who we are and what God can do through us. Stop to think that you are an explosion of God's creative genius. You are one of a kind. There's no one else on earth exactly like you. There's a wife back there saying, "Thank God." Don't look at your husband when you say that. You are a very special person. You are born in the image of God. The Bible says you are a little lower than the angels. Say that with me. You are a little lower than the angels. God looks from the balconies of heaven on you right now in this assembly. And he says these things: I love you. You are an expression of my creative genius. I made you. I don't make junk and I don't sponsor flops. You are the excellent ones on the face of the earth. You are the chosen ones. Mount on the wings of faith and attempt to be everything you can be. For nothing is impossible with God, and the excellent are more righteous than their neighbors. Rise and reach for it in Jesus' name. That's God's desire for you. You can be, unless you don't want to be. And if you don't want to be, not even God can help you. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life as you catch a vision of what's possible through Jesus Christ. All things are possible to them who believe. Say that with me. All things are possible to them who believe. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Let me say this to you. I know that some of you right now are going through the greatest problems you've ever gone in all of your life. And I want you to understand that God is greater than the steep mountains that you are climbing. God is greater than the trials that you are enduring. God is greater than the fears that you are facing. God is greater than the questions that are in your mind about why the things that have happened to you have happened. God is greater than the dark valleys that you're having to go through right now. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord our God is with you. God is greater than the storms of life. God is greater than death. God is greater than the pain of divorce. God is greater than drugs. God is greater than alcohol. Our God is a great God. He's an excellent God. And you can do anything you want to if you'll put your hand in His and glorify His name while you do it. Bless the Lord. David said, O Lord, our Lord, how what? How excellent is thy name in all the earth. His name is excellent. His gospel is excellent. His kingdom is excellent. And his children should be excellent because it's God's desire that you be excellent. Turn to your neighbor and say, through Christ, I'm excellent. Would you do that? There you are. It's the first good thing some of you have said about yourself in a long time. Now, what is your dream? Whatever it is, however impossible it seems, whatever the obstacle that lies between you and it, if it's noble, if it's consistent with God's Word, did you hear that? If it's consistent with God's Word, if it's consistent with God's kingdom, lock your jaws on it and go for it, because the Bible said, I will give you the desires of your heart. Do not stop. Do not quit. You can make it happen. Why? Because excellence is something that God rewards. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. We fail to accomplish excellence because we try and somehow fail. Let me tell you something. Failure is a part of the real life. Every person who ever tries something, he will tell you that failing several many times is necessary before he can find the answer. I'm looking at people in this audience who are sitting in the ashes of defeat. You've given up on life. You feel bitter. You feel rejected. You feel alone because your business failed. Your marriage failed. Your friends failed you. Your plans failed you. I want to tell you something. Failure is a part of the real world. You cannot sit down in failure and say, well, I guess my life is over. Your life is not over until we bury you. And if you know Jesus, it's only beginning. So don't worry about it. You haven't failed until you quit. If you're on the right track, you will get run over if you just sit there. Move on. Get excited about what God can do through you and try again. You'll never stub your toe standing still, I'll tell you that. Even the turtle has to stick his neck out before he can get anywhere. Thomas Edison tried 700 experiments with his electric light bulb, and his assistant said, we haven't found the answer, we failed. Edison said, we've only found 700 ways that won't work. Let's press on. Ted Williams, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, hit a record 400 batting average that still stands. That is supremely excellent. But do you know what that means? Mathematically, it means he failed to hit the ball 6 out of 10 times. That's what it means. It also means if you hit the ball 4 out of 10 times, you can renegotiate your contract. Think about that. You don't always hit it out of the ballpark. You don't always walk out the door and experience success. Some days you go out hunting the bear, and the bear gets you. And those are the all employed. But you do have to get up and keep swinging. You do have to get out of the dugout. You can't go in the dugout and say, well, I didn't hit a home run last time. Don't believe I'll ever play again. Some of God's children act that way. Well, I didn't walk on water today, so I guess I'll quit. You have to keep trying. You have to come back and try again. We fail to achieve excellence because we give in to things that we think handicap us. Hear me. Everybody in God's Word had a handicap. Moses was handicapped. The Bible said he was slow of speech. And he did pretty good. He pastored several million people for 40 years without losing his mind. That's a miracle. Miracle. Jesus was handicapped. He was born to a hated minority called the Jews. He had a scandalous birth that people still talk about as being illegitimate. He was called a liar. He was called a drunk. He was called a heretic by the church. The politician said, you're a traitor to Caesar. And the church called him a devil. How many of you know that hurt your TV rating? Really make it fall. Paul was handicapped. He was nearsighted. He had an explosive temper. He was extremely aggressive. He wrote most of the New Testament. That's not bad. I saw a picture the other day of Joni Erickson, a quadriplegic, painting beautiful pictures, holding the brush in her teeth. Wow. Think about it. I told you the other Sunday and repeated about Helen Keller at the age of 19 months because of illness became totally deaf, blind, and could not speak. At the age of 7, a marvelous teacher by the name of Ann Sullivan came into her life and she began to learn how to express herself and she graduated from Ratcliff College with honors. Why are you sitting down now bemoaning about your life not getting where you want it to go? A 12-year-old boy was so severely burned in a schoolhouse fire that the doctor said of this 12-year-old boy, he will never walk again. That boy wanted to be a track star. He set his mind to it. He worked. He went the second mile. He gave more effort. And the world stood and cheered when Glenn Cunningham ran the fastest mile in the history of humanity when he became an adult. Beethoven was deaf. When I hear some of today's rock music, I wish I was. But he was a pretty good musician. Albert Einstein's teacher said, quote, this boy is a slow learner. He's possibly retarded. The only problem was the kid was so far ahead of the teacher, he was bored with what she had to say. He was ignoring her. What's your problem? If you have a problem, that's wonderful. You've got something to live for. But don't use your problem as an excuse for your miserable, mediocre accomplishments. Because the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. You can take everything that is besetting to you. You can take everything that you consider a handicap. You can take every excuse that you have eulogized and engraved into your brain. And if you will take the word of God in one hand and the Lord in the other hand, you can accomplish great exploits because the Lord wants you to be an outstanding child, and you can by his grace if you'll try. Say this in closing, excellence begins with commitment. Say that with me. Excellence begins with commitment. A commitment to Jesus Christ. People say, well, if Jesus was my pastor, I would follow him. No, you wouldn't, sweetheart. You'd do exactly what most of the people did who listened to him preach. You'd quit. Did you know that's what the Bible says? Jesus was preaching and he said, which one of you is not willing to forsake houses and lands and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters for my sake cannot be my disciple? Phew. Then he said, whosoever does not carry his cross cannot be my disciple. And you know what happened? The Bible says, and from that time, many, which means most, went back and they walked with him no more. They quit. As soon as Jesus started talking about commitment, they vanished. Like many of you, they love the for us gospel. Lord, what are you going to do for us? And when he stopped walking on the water and feeding free lunches and started talking about commitment and about crosses to bear and about trials to endure and fasting and praying, and putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, they said, bye, Pastor Jesus. The church down the road preaches a lot easier than that. Bye, bye. And that's right where the majority of humanity is today. Is Cornerstone Church a church of excellence? No. Not when 30% carry the financial load for 100%, no. Not when 2% do the praying for 98%, no. When we're willing to commit to the kingdom of God like the New Testament says commitment is, this church can cause a city revival that will set this town on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ from one side to the other. But we are not there yet. We are a good church. We've got some great people. But don't break your arm patting yourself on the back, brother. We have not even approached New Testament excellence. Secondly, excellence begins with a personal commitment to your family. Some of you husbands need to go home and introduce yourself to your wife and children. I'm the guy you married several years ago. Hi, kids, I'm Dad. You need to take your wife on a weekend retreat and discover who she is. Maybe who you are. Hopefully you'll like each other when you bump into each other for longer than 15 minutes. Because one day you're going to die. You really are. And I hope you leave your wife something more precious than your Rolex. I said this Sunday several months ago, and I said again, I've seen lots of people die. And I've never heard anyone on their deathbed look at their wife and say, I wish I'd have spent more time down at the office. Never heard anybody say that. Never heard anybody say, pull back the drape, baby, and let me look at the Rolls Royce one more time before I die. Never have. But every time without fail, they gathered around and rehearsed the good things they did together. That's all you can remember right then. That's all you want to remember right then. You need to live every day like it's your last day, because one day it's going to be your last day. I've seen them pass the casket and say, Mama, I wish we'd have taken that vacation. I wish we'd have bought that boat. Wretched as they are, I wish we'd have bought it. But you fooled around and gave your life to an ulcer alley somewhere called an office building and died without precious memories that really make life worth living. And if you don't have a commitment to your family, you really don't have a good relationship with Jesus. I was in Houston this weekend visiting my father, and the news media there had three major crimes committed by parents against children. And literally, I turned the TV off because I was getting so enraged I was sick. One father grabbed his baby, 8 weeks old, and shook the baby until her brain literally came loose in her skull and she died. You say, oh, I would never do that. Let me tell you, neglecting your child is a merciless way to bring emotional death to that child. Jesus was the Son of God, and He hugged children. He picked them up. He loved them. He embraced them. He was committed to them. And lastly, you need to make a commitment not only to God and to your family, but a commitment to yourself that you're going to be the best in your profession that you can be. I don't care if you're a lawyer or you cut grass. If you bear God's name, you ought to be the best one in town. Period. You ought to do it so that when people see you do it, they say the righteous is indeed more excellent than their neighbors. But until that starts happening, people will have to live by the premise of my father. When you do business with a Christian, get a receipt. And that should not be. If people everywhere did no more than they have to, the world would come to a stop tomorrow. And I want to tell you something. Some of you are looking for jobs, but you're not looking for work. And until you start looking for work, you're not going to find a job. And I want to ask yourself the question, if you were your boss, would you hire you? If you drag in late and look for a reason to leave early and move around like molasses going uphill in the wintertime, would you want to hire you? Probably not. When you make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you'll get your life in relationship to Him in shape. You'll get your life in relationship to your family squared away. And when you go to work, you'll look like you're shot out of the end of a shotgun ready to do something when you arrive. Because the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor.